Would you pray with me, please? Dear Lord, be with Crystal as she brings us your message today. I pray our ears and hearts are open to your word. Today's reading is from Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." In Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Well, before I begin the sermon, I need to give credit where credit is due. The idea for this sermon came from Dr. Ed Stetzer, a pastor and professor and author who spoke at the Eco Gathering in Houston in January. Some of the words are his, the way he said them, and others are my own, since I was just working from notes and not really trying to copy him word for word. But the gist of it and the idea are his. Every once in a while after the sermon, we commission someone in worship. The commissioning that we do most often, I think, in this church and that you might remember is of the Sunday school and Bible club teachers. Every year at the beginning of the school year, we bring them up front and we authorize them to do their job with promises made and prayers said. Occasionally, we'll commission someone for a mission trip. And when our son Hunter gathered a group of people and worked for several years preparing for a mission trip to Africa, we had a whole commissioning worship service, not just a short time during the regular worship. So the definition of a commission is it's a duty, order, or instruction given to a person or group of people to do something or produce something. And when it's a verb, as in we are commissioning you, we are giving an order to someone or a group of people and also giving them the authority to carry out those instructions. So in my mind, commissioning is not just giving a task to somebody, but it's a little more formal and gives a person a sense of responsibility and value that comes with his or her work. Some churches have started commissioning many people for things that are other than what we might consider traditional ministry within the church. So, for instance, people like hospice workers or business owners or parents who work in the home, or for other types of work or volunteer jobs. It's a good idea in these days when people have forgotten that discipleship is a call to ministry no matter what your job is or where you live. Commissioning reminds us that we are here for a valuable God-given purpose and gives us the power we need to fulfill that purpose. So in the New Testament, Jesus actually gives four commissions to his disciples, all of them between his resurrection and ascension. Probably the most well-known one is in Matthew 28, which we call the Great Commission. Many people memorize it, and I'm sure you've heard lots of sermons on it. But there are four different times that Jesus commissions his disciples. And what these commissions tell us is that we are sent to all different kinds of people with a message in the power of the Spirit. So we are sent. In the first commission, in John 20, 21, Jesus says, "As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Over and over in John, Jesus has said that he was sent by his Father. He came from heaven to earth, sent by God for a purpose. And now, at the end of his bodily, earthly ministry, we find out that one of his purposes in choosing and training disciples is so that he can send them. From the beginning of Israel, God has been a sender. When he first chose Abraham to be the father of his people, God called him out from his home to go to a new place that he would show him. The story of Joseph is not a happy one to start with, being sold by his brothers into slavery in a foreign country. But by the end of it, we realize that Joseph was sent to Egypt for God's purposes, to save Israel from famine, and for God's larger purposes of saving the whole nation of Israel some 400 years later. When he called the prophets, God said, "I am sending you," or just "go." God is a sender, and Jesus does what his Father does, so he also sends. What does it mean to be sent by Jesus? Stetzer says, if you are a disciple of Jesus or a follower, you are on a mission trip. And Charles Spurgeon, who is a well-known preacher and theologian from the 1800s, said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. What that means is that everyone called of God into discipleship has a responsibility to go where Jesus sends them. It doesn't matter if you're old or young or in between. It doesn't matter if you're adventurous or not, whether you're a public speaker or not, whether you feel qualified or not. By definition, followers of Christ are sent into the world to bear witness to him. Some of us go to far-off lands, learn new languages and cultures, and bring the gospel to those who have never heard it before. And some do those things in places where the church is underground, because to openly preach the name of Jesus is to invite persecution. Some do short-term missions trips, building houses or cleaning up after hurricanes and fires, working in schools or hospitals, or leading vacation Bible school. Bringing the love of Christ in practical and tangible ways that fulfill Jesus' command to care for the least of these. But even if you never do any of these things, if you're Christ's disciple, you are still sent. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Of course, Jesus said this to the 11, and they were actually sent away from home, scattered from each other, to begin spreading the gospel all over the known world. But even those who aren't called to move away or travel are sent, in a way, into a mission field that may be your neighborhood or your workplace or, closer yet, your family home. The mission field is challenging. We know of people in some places who face real danger of persecution for preaching Jesus Christ. We pray they'll have courage and that the Lord will protect them. But even for we who stay at home, the environment is not always friendly to Christian evangelism. The culture is more secular than it used to be, more aggressive against Christianity. But this is no different. In fact, I'm sure we have it easier than the culture where the first church grew up. So I know it can be done in spite of challenges and trials. God is a sender, and his people are those who live sent. And we are not just to wander aimlessly. We are sent to something. The second of Jesus' commissions to his disciples is this one in Matthew that we heard this morning. It tells us that we're sent to all different kinds of people. Jesus says to make disciples of all nations. The people in that day would have heard Gentiles, which meant anyone who wasn't a Jew. Today, we hear it as all different kinds of people. So they can be from other cultures, countries, and ethnicities. We're making disciples of Asians, Arabs, Europeans, Americans, Pacific Islanders, anywhere we can travel, anywhere we can learn to communicate with folks, there are missionaries there bringing the gospel to them. It also means different types of personalities and interest groups. God is working in the hearts of people of all kinds, even within our own larger culture, in the subcultures. He wants the bikers, the cowboys, the prep school girls, scientists, politicians, hipsters. He wants the generations, the baby boomers, Gen Xers, millennials, and everyone in between. When someone is sent to them and they accept Jesus, we have a common theology, but because of our distinctive cultures, the expressions of faith will be different. Worship will look different. We're not all comfortable with all of these cultures and expressions. We don't all relate to each different one. We might walk into their worship and say, "These are not my people." But thank God, someone has been sent to them. That isn't to say he won't send you where you're uncomfortable. Jesus does stretch us out of our comfort zones, knowing that we'll have to depend completely on him for the outcome, taking away any credit from ourselves for conversions. But if you have no background, no training, no means of learning about the new culture, chances are that's not where God is sending you. On the other hand, we cannot write off anyone as unsalvageable. I admit there are some groups of people that I assume will not respond to the gospel. I don't want to talk to some people who are confident in themselves and successful in career and life. Unbelievers in that condition seem to me to have no need of God. I know they need God, but it seems like they won't respond to the gospel. And there are other general groups of people who I just think in my mind don't want to hear about Jesus. But that is a sinful attitude. No one knows a person's heart but God, and he wants to save as many as will come. And it's the church's job to preach the gospel to everyone, like a sower liberally sowing seed all over the garden, including the inhospitable places. What that says to me, for us, is that the best opportunities for evangelism come in one-to-one relationships. If you think there's a type of person who won't respond, don't go to a group meeting and try to preach the gospel. Get to know one person in a social setting. Find out what they're all about, and when concerns or issues arise, try to insert the gospel in conversation. And always be a disciple yourself. Be growing in faith, moving in a deeper relationship with Christ yourself so that your newness of life shows in what you say and do. God is the creator of all things, and he created human beings with a wild array of diversity. For some of us, that is great news. We're so interested in people who are different from us. For others, it's uncomfortable or even scary to be around people of different cultures and languages and ethnicities. But that wild array of diversity is God's very good creation and God's fallen creation that needs the Savior. And so we can say, thank God that he sent someone to all these different kinds of people. One day, when we see the Lord in his heavenly kingdom, there will be people of all kinds around the throne worshiping him. And when we're sent, whether near or far, we are sent with a message. And that message is the gospel. Jesus died on the cross for our sake in our place. By grace and through faith, we are forgiven of sin, can follow Jesus and be made new. In Luke 24, the risen Jesus speaks to his disciples again. Starting at verse 46, he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of all these things. It is this gospel that transforms lives, that gives hope to the hopeless, purpose to those with no reason to live, and the promise of life to those who feel empty. Don't go into the mission field and forget the message. You cannot do it on your own or with the latest popular psychology. This message that Jesus is Lord and he loves you changes people and cultures. You love Jesus. Your life has been changed. In large ways and small, you've been and continue to be made new. Every one of us has an experience, a conviction, evidence of the gospel in our lives. We need to learn and practice sharing our faith with others who need to hear. In order to be effective, to do what God sent us to do, we need to do evangelism. Learn to share your testimony, starting with a Christian friend or a small group. Think about and notice God's work in the world. Pay attention to answered prayer. Think about the situations you've been in where God has helped you or where the gospel of Jesus has really made the difference, either to how you saw things or how you reacted. Where did the new creation you've become show itself? As you rehearse these things over and over in your mind, you may find places in your day-to-day conversation where you can bring it up and share with someone so that they might find new life too. Evangelism isn't easy, and for many of our generation, it feels awkward and maybe a little fake, not because we don't believe the message, but because we haven't practiced these things. There are lots of helps for it. Books, methods, classes. You can probably find something that will fit your personality and your situation. Perhaps we do have to be sensitive to others and how we come across. We don't want to put people off by aggressive or annoying methods. But if we never speak up with the message of Jesus dying for our sins, being raised again, being Savior and Lord, and that we can have new life in his name, then we just aren't doing what Jesus commissioned disciples to do. D.L. Moody was criticized one time for his evangelism methods. His response was, "You raise some good points. Frankly, I sometimes don't like the way way of doing evangelism, but I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it." And there are people and churches who are out there doing evangelism. It's encouraging to know that contrary to what you might hear in the media, Christianity is not dropping off. It is thriving. Churches with a robust faith and worship are holding their own or growing. Now, there is a non-religious demographic group called the Nuns, that's N-O-N-E, not N-U-N, that is growing fast as many people move from nominal Christianity to no religion at all. But we can be encouraged that the numbers of faithful Christians continue to be the same or slightly higher than in previous years. We have a message, the gospel. It's powerful and transformative, and it is out there, and it is in us to be shared with those who don't yet believe. And to do all this, to share the message with all different kinds of people, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Our churches must be Spirit-filled. Without the Spirit's leading and empowerment, we cannot do the good we want to do. The last commission is recorded by Luke in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and it comes immediately before Jesus ascends into heaven. It says, "So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Some people have an obsession with the end times. After all these years, it's amazing to me the number of people who still try to predict the end of the world, and the even larger number of people who believe them and make preparations. Jesus will have none of it. He hasn't put us on the time and date committee, but on the welcoming committee. We are called to share the gospel, care for and sometimes defend people who are different from us. Compassion, hospitality, social justice, evangelism, these are the good works of the church, welcoming people into God's kingdom through the gospel of grace. And Jesus does not send us on our own. In Matthew, he promised that he would be with us forever. And here in Acts, he tells us what that will look like. He comes in the form of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to witness to him. If the task seems daunting, we can take heart that we never go alone. This is, after all, the work of God. In the end, it is he who draws people unto himself. It is he who makes the way for people to come. But he is gracious to include us in it. He gives us gifts, talents, and blessings to share. He uses human beings to witness to other human beings of his love and salvation and life. We are sent to all different kinds of people with a message in the power of the Spirit. May our church fearlessly join in this movement of the Holy Spirit, actively seeking out people to share the gospel with, and always knowing Jesus is with us and relying on him for the outcome. Amen.